We three kings of Orient are. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 introduces us to three characters in the New Testament not seen there before. Certain wise men. Literally, the strangers that came from afar were called the Magi in Greek, the idea being the wise men, and that's where we get this wise men, the name of them on here. And Matthew tries to make a special significance to their visit as he starts in verse 1 because he says, "Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," and then throws in there, "behold." Behold, something very unique, something very special happened. And the question is, who then were these Magi? Where did they come from? The expression "from the east" is rather indefinite. Did they come from the Medes and the Persians, as some think? Did they come from the Babylonian regions, as others have said? Few biblical stories are as well known, yet so clouded by myth and tradition, as that of the Magi mentioned in Matthew. During the Middle Ages, the legend develops that these were three kings, and we just sang, "We three kings of Orient are." You know, Matthew never says they were three kings. He says they were the Magi, the wise men. But the Middle Ages told us they were not only three kings, but they came up with three names. It was Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. And as I was preparing this, I said something to one of my kids. I said, "What are the names of the three wise men?" And they came to Jerusalem in search of Jesus. And from the kitchen, my wife popped out, and she had all three names. And it all came from the Middle Ages and part of all the lore that's around there. But Matthew doesn't tell us there was three, and Matthew doesn't give us any names. You go on, and there's all kinds of other things that are tied to these wise men. Some thought that they represented the three sons of Noah, which is possible. They were subsequently said to have been baptized by Thomas. Their bones were discovered by St. Helena. They were deposited in the church in St. Sophia at Constantinople. Then later, they were transferred to Milan and finally brought to the great cathedral at Cologne. And one must wonder how much of that is truth and how much of that is myth. But it's all of what we have as we think about these wise men and the myths that have come up around them. Now, there was a group of Magi. The Magi first appeared in the 7th century BC as a tribe in the Midian region of Mesopotamia. And historians consider them to have been Semites, possibly from Noah's descendant of Shem. It's also believed that as Abraham, they could have even come from this area of Ur of the Chaldees. But again, much of it's conjecture as we think about these three wise men. The name Magi became associated solely with a hereditary priesthood within that tribe. Eventually, they became men who were skilled in astronomy and astrology, and they had a sacrificial system that somewhat resembled that of Israel and through Moses. They were involved in various occult practices as well, including sorcery, and were especially noted for their ability to interpret dreams, which is very interesting as we see how God uses that in the Christmas story. Because of their combined knowledge of science, agriculture, mathematics, history, and the occult, their religious and political influence continued to grow, and they became the most prominent and powerful group of advisors in the Medo-Persian Empire and subsequently in the Babylonian Empire. In fact, historians tell us that no Persian was ever able to become king without mastering the scientific and religious disciplines of the Magi and then being approved and crowned by them. Hence, they became known as the kingmakers. We learn from the book of Daniel that there were Magi there in Babylon, and Daniel's emphasis on how his ministry revolved around the interpreting of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar when the Magi could not, how he rose to a place of significance amongst the Magi because of that. And even during the Greek and Roman empires, the Magi's power and influence continued in the eastern provinces. The Magi from the east had come in Matthew chapter 2. But the conclusion we have to draw about these Magi is, we really know very little about them other than what's stated in Matthew chapter 2. Just the legitimate facts. We need to realize we're not told their number, their names, not even the means of transportation, though we picture them coming across on camels, or the specific country or countries from which they came. The fact is that they came from the east, and they came in search of the Savior. Verses 1 and 2 again. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east into Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose in the east and have come to worship him.'" And as we continue to read this story, not only is there mystery surrounding the wise men, but what was the nature of that star? They said, "We've seen his star as it rose in the east." And we've got all kinds of lore around that as well. Some say it's a genuine star. Some say it was the planet Jupiter. Others, planet Jupiter and Saturn aligned in that time and caused that phenomena in the skies. Some say it was a comet that was acting erratically. Some, a luminary hanging low in the sky. Some, it was a star of destiny and hope guiding from within. But you look at all that and you realize it definitely wasn't a star guiding from within, because it appears and they see that star. And all of these other things, again, we can speculate. Was it some astronomical phenomenon that God caused to be there? Was it something he created? It was definitely something very special as we read through the story. But we'll never know exactly what it was, other than it was the star that guided those wise men. Secondly, how was it that the Magi connected it with the birth of the King of the Jews? They said, we've seen his star rise in the east, but how did they know it was his? How did they know they needed to go to Jerusalem? And again, we just sang, We Three Kings of Orient Are, but can we remember that that's not from Matthew? We Three Kings of Orient Are, and they followed the star from the east to the west. You know, Scripture never says they followed the star all the way from the east to the west. It says they saw his star in the east and they came to Jerusalem to find him. They never followed the star until after they met with Herod again and the star suddenly appeared, and then they followed it exactly to where the child lay. But all of these things surrounding that, we've got all of these stories, and the bottom line is all these opinions as to how and why the wise men connected the appearance of the star with the birth are conjecture. We don't have the answer. We are left in the dark. And as I read Scripture at times, I think, why does Matthew leave us in the dark? Could he have not told us who these three wise men, or were there three, who they were? Could he have not told us exactly where they came from and what they were doing and how they came into connection with this information about this child who was born that was going to be the King of Kings and the King of the Jews? All of this is left for us to conjecture, but one thing Matthew makes very, very clear. We look at verse 2, and it says, for we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Everything else is left out of the picture in order that the full emphasis might be placed on one thing. We have come to worship him. Can I ask you this morning, as you think of this Christmas story in Jesus Christ, have you come to worship him? There are so many things that distract us during the Christmas season. We get family together, and that's a great thing. We go out to eat. We eat more than we need as Americans over Christmas, and that's a wonderful thing. And we have opportunities to gather together and have special times of singing and special times of just celebrating what's going on. But often in the midst of all of our Christmas carols and all of our trappings around it, we forget Jesus Christ. And as I look at all this, I think Matthew could have told us all those things, but he told us the one thing we need. These men came. They went out of their way. They sacrificed to worship Jesus Christ. Their quest here was to worship the King, and they looked for that King. And so we see many unexpected things going on here in this passage. We want to look at just seven of them briefly. We've already talked about two. There were unexpected visitors, wise men from the east who came to visit. There was an unexpected question in chapter 2, because as they came into Jerusalem, they said, where is he who was born King of the Jews? Now, as the wise men came, and as they came into Jerusalem, and as they posed their question, where is he who was born King of the Jews, what do you suppose they expected the response to be? A king has been born. A special star has risen. We've traveled from the east. Surely everyone knows where this king is. And yet as you read that, the text and the tense of the verb there says they were keeping on asking. The idea is they were going here and there, all around Jerusalem, asking, where is the one that is born King of the Jews? And no one had the answer. So we have this unexpected question. And then in verses 3 through 6, a very unexpected disturbance. As the wise men came and asked that question, what was their goal? Were they trying to get everybody stirred up in Jerusalem? Were they trying to get Herod's attention? No, they were trying to find this child, this king who had been born, and surely the town would know about it. And verse 3 tells us the disturbance that began. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. And so as the wise men start asking this question and word gets around, the scripture tells us, first of all, that Herod's troubled, and secondly, that all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And I looked and I thought, why was all of Jerusalem so troubled? Well, maybe it was the uncertainty of what was going on, but probably the beginning of the verse tells us why Jerusalem was troubled. Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled. Who was this Herod the king? Herod that we see here is known as being a very despicable man. He was a despot. Herod was in love with himself and ruthless and cunning. He loved opulence, and he loved great grand building projects. In fact, the temple that was put in Jerusalem was Herod's project. It wasn't finished until years after his death because it was on such a grand scale. And Herod loved all these things, but he would not abide opposition. He was known as a bloody and an awful man when it came to opposition. And so as Jerusalem is hearing about another king, they're troubled because Herod kind of just went out and wiped people out if he wasn't feeling right. If he was nervous, he'd get rid of whole groups of people, whether they were innocent or guilty. And as the Jerusalem thought about this, they were troubled, and Herod was troubled because Herod did not want any competition. And so we read that Herod gets the wise men together, and he pulls together certain in Israel. He pulls together the chief priests. He pulls together the scribes. And as we study all this out, basically, he's pulled together the Pharisees. He's pulled together the Sadducees. Anybody who can give him an answer. And he said, where is this child? And they give him the prophecy of Micah chapter 5. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, which are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. And so he's given the prophecy and said, well, he was born in Bethlehem. The interesting part of that prophecy is the last part of that verse isn't found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. He says, who shall shepherd my people Israel? I don't know if it was Matthew under the Holy Spirit who penned that, if it were the Jews that put that in there, but that shepherding of my people Israel is an interesting addition to that prophecy because Herod was not a shepherd. Herod was a despot. And as they looked at Herod, they said, here's one who's born in Bethlehem, and he won't be like you. He will shepherd my people. He will take care of my people. So we see this unexpected reaction and this turbulence in all of Jerusalem through Herod. But then not only that, we see a very unexpected commission. The wise men had come for one reason and one reason only. They had come to worship Jesus Christ. But in verses 7 and 8, Herod summons them secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring word that I too may come and worship him. You look at that and you wonder, what's going on in the minds of the wise men? If these are truly wise men, do they think that Herod's intending to worship this child who threatens his very existence? And yet Herod tells him to go into Bethlehem, find this child, and Herod's very cunning. He brings them in secretly, and then he also asks him, well, when did this star appear? Do you think that Herod was really into astronomy? Herod's trying to figure out, how old is this child, where is he located, and how do I get rid of him? And so this commission is given to these wise men. Go and do what you came to do. Find him, but then come back to me and tell me so I can go worship him as well, with no intent of worship. And we'll see that as we go through this, the rest of this passage. And then we see in verses 9 and 10 a very unexpected sign. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Isn't it interesting how the Lord works in the lives of these wise men? I don't know whether they ever had true faith in Jesus Christ for who he was as the Lord and Savior. They certainly came to worship him. They certainly brought gifts that were very expensive, as we're about to see. But as they leave Herod's and they get ready to go to Bethlehem to search for the child, God provides the star. And they follow the star, and there's no missing where the star's headed. The star stops exactly where Jesus Christ was laying. And you look at this and say, this star couldn't be some heavenly body. This wasn't Jupiter out there. This was God miraculously giving a sign through his glory and his power of exactly where Jesus Christ was. And it's interesting as well as we look at the way it puts this. When the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Can you picture these wise men? You remember your manger scenes. How do you normally picture the wise men? I went and found a couple. You know, they look very stately. They look very regal. They look very rich. They probably didn't look at all like that. But you've got these three wise men, and they're looking, and the scripture says here that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Matthew can't find enough descriptors to put in here to say how excited they were when they saw the star. And all I could think of was these three dignified gentlemen were so excited, they were like a kid at Christmas time. They were as excited as children saying, "What's there for me?" And it wasn't because of what was there for them. Or was it? Because a child had been born. And we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so they are so excited about getting where they need to get to visit this king that they follow the star. And verse 11 tells us, not only do they have an unexpected sign, but they find a very unexpected king. Verse 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him." As these men traveled from the east all the way to Jerusalem, knowing a special star had come out to a special king who had been born, what do you think they expected to see? Do you think they expected to find him in a meager home? They were expecting the palace. That's why as they came into Jerusalem, they expected some very lavish accommodations for the king who had been born. And yet they find the king in a modest home with his mother, and they were just dismayed and went home. This wasn't what they'd expected. Is that what the scripture says? They found him, and because of the way God had led in this miraculous star that had led them there, they fell down and they worshiped Jesus Christ. And again, as we get through the Christmas season, the theme that comes back through this story again and again, why are we told about these wise men? These kingmakers who came to Jerusalem and fell down and worshiped Jesus Christ. Because Matthew is trying to again impress upon our hearts the importance of worshiping Jesus Christ. What will you do this Christmas season to worship Jesus Christ? We all have different ideas of worship, don't we? We came in and we sang today, and some people say, that's worship, that was enough. Others came in and spent time and actually followed along as we read the scripture and said, that's worship. And worship is all of those things, but worship is more than that. Worship is a life given over to Jesus Christ. That's how we worship. And you see the example even of these wise men, these men from the east who came in, they gave of their time. How far did they travel? Matthew doesn't tell us. Kind of annoys me. I wanted to know how far they came. What did it cost them? How many people did they bring with them? What kind of an entourage was it? Whatever it was, they stopped what they were doing. They dedicated themselves to finding Jesus Christ and they worshiped him. And I thought about that in our holiday season. Are you willing to stop what you're doing, to reflect upon Jesus Christ, and to just fall down and worship him for who he is, the Lord and the Savior? That's what Christmas ought to be all about. We've made it about so many other things, and often we forget the idea of Christmas. The idea of the Savior coming ought to be an opportunity for us to fall down and to worship him. So we see this unexpected king, and they bring this unexpected king some gifts. The scripture tells us gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, as we sang through our hymn on We Three Kings of Orient Are, it kind of gave us an idea of why they may have brought these gifts. Matthew doesn't tell us. He simply states they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, however, was a symbol of nobility and royalty, a symbol of wealth, and so they presented that to Jesus Christ, a gift that cost them something. Frankincense was a costly, beautiful-smelling incense that was often used in the offerings, even in the tabernacle and the temple. It was another gift that cost them something. And myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume, expensive, not quite as so as the frankincense, but an expensive perfume, often mixed with other spices and used in preparation of bodies for burial, and may again have been a sign of Jesus Christ's humanity and his coming death. And so they present him with these gifts. And not only are they wonderful symbols, but they're also symbols of God taking care of Mary and Joseph. Remember last week when we talked about Christmas through the eyes of Joseph? Joseph and Mary were probably a poor young couple, just starting out. And in just a few days, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come to Joseph in a dream and tell him, you need to pick up Mary and his mother and you need to flee to Egypt. And you need to stay there till I tell you it's safe to come back. How is Joseph going to support his family? That day, he received gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and probably was able to use that to make a trip down to Egypt and sustain his family as God continued to work in that family's life. And then the final thing we see here is an unexpected detour. As the wise men finished up their visit, as they worshiped the King of Kings, verse 12 tells us, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And you read that again, and it's almost understated again what's happening there. Here these wise men are, they're preparing to make the whole journey home. They know how they're going to go. And suddenly, in a dream, they're warned not to go. Isn't it interesting that the wise men who were known for being able to interpret dreams are visited by God in a dream in order to do his will and his work? And again, we look at this and he said they were warned not to return to Herod, so they just departed by their own country by another way. I had shared with you earlier, I'd love to have known how big the entourage was. I doubt men that were traveling with gold, frankincense, and myrrh came alone like we picture them coming as three kings and bowing before. They probably had a whole entourage with them. And this whole entourage leaves Bethlehem, moves on out by another way, and Herod, though he wanted to know desperately what was going on, doesn't find out because God is at work again. And then we find out later that Jesus is going to be moved to Egypt in order to take care of the fact that Herod would kill all of the young children 2 years and under in Bethlehem in search of the Savior. God again in control of all those things. And so as we think about the Christmas season, especially Christmas through the eyes of the wise men, can we remember just a couple of things? Didn't matter who they were. Didn't matter where they were from. Didn't matter how many of them were, so you can keep your three wise men at the manger scene that you have at home if you like them to be there. They really weren't at the manger, but they were there for one purpose. They came, they gave, they sacrificed to worship Jesus Christ. We ought to follow their example this Christmas season. And secondly, we ought to be very, very in tune with what God wants us to do with our lives. They had plans. They planned to come to Jerusalem and find the young child. God changed their plans. They followed the Lord and the leading of God to the home where he was there. And they worshiped him, and then God changed their plans again. And without hesitation, wherever God led, they followed. Are you willing not only to worship Jesus Christ, but to lead and go wherever he leads and follow wherever he sends you? What a wonderful lesson from the wise men. I don't know who they were. I don't know how many they were. I hope they knew the truth of the Savior because I'd love to meet those men someday and find out what inspired them to go worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords the way they did. Let's pray. Father, we once again thank you for your Scripture. We thank you for the wonders of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for a Savior that was God in flesh, for a Savior who came to save us from our sins, for a baby that was born in a manger, born of a virgin, fulfilling prophecy all along the way. Lord, may we honor and glorify and worship Jesus Christ today as we consider those things. Lord, as we go into Christmas in the next few hours, we pray that you might help us to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be like the shepherds who came to that scene in the manger and then went away and just spread abroad the news of what they'd seen. May we get so enwrapped in the awe and the wonder of it all, as the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph were as they considered Jesus Christ, that we can't help but share him this Christmas season. God, open up doors of opportunity and help us to be willing to share the message of a Savior who was born, that our sins might be forgiven and that we might have a right relationship with God. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.